And now to India, which marks 75 years of independence this year. It is the world's largest democracy, but human rights groups question the country's commitment to democracy, in large part because of Kashmir. It is a Himalayan region divided between India and Pakistan. India has flooded its side of Kashmir with troops, shut down the internet, and jailed politicians. Rukshma Kumar brings us stories of three generations of Kashmiris whose lives illustrate the changing nature in this decades-long conflict.
80-year-old poet Zarif Ahmed takes me to his study, which is filled from floor to ceiling with books in Urdu, English, and Persian, some of which he wrote.
These are my writings, kitabe.
Ahmed won India's highest award for literature. But what he's most proud of is a tiny notebook where he scribbled the locations for all the trees he has planted.
Batmalna police headquarters ke andar.
In police stations, government offices and universities, where the shade can cool off tensions, he says. Kashmir has been tense for the past 75 years, with both India and Pakistan taking claim to it. Part of the ancient Silk Route, Kashmir has abundant natural resources and strategic importance. When Ahmed was a child, India and Pakistan went to war over Kashmir and split the region between them. The Hindu king of Jammu and Kashmir joined India in exchange for some autonomy. Later, India promised to let Kashmiris vote on their future, but that never happened. We extended a hand of friendship to India, but it cut our palm, says Ahmed. He embodies a Kashmir that expected a quick return to self-rule through diplomacy and dialogue. But that was seven decades ago. Successive generations decided they would have to fight for it.
There have been so many bad memories in our school days, because those days the violence was at its peak.
Shafkat Raina is poet Ahmed's godson. He went to school in Kashmir in the 80s and 90s, the bloodiest decades.
I still remember there was a firing incident. We ducked under the benches and the bullets were going outside and we were just hiding ourselves under the desk.
He was caught in the crossfire between Indian soldiers and Kashmiri youth who illegally crossed the border to Pakistan to acquire weapons and to learn how to use them. Raina says his generation idolized the militants.
They were crazed. I still remember they used to come play cricket with the locals. They used to keep their guns aside. I mean, for kids like us, real heroes we used to see.
Raina's generation thought a resolution to the Kashmir conflict would come through insurgency against India with a little help from Pakistan, says researcher Alpana Kishore.
In the 90s, there was great interest in Pakistan as a savior. What happened later is that they understood that Pakistan is not going to go to war with India over Kashmir.
So Kashmir plunged into endless cycles of violence. Islamist insurgency spread. Minority Hindus fled for their lives. Raina, the godson, is the embodiment of what Kashmir then became, a place of tension and trauma.
This tension always followed us in our whole life, whether it's a marriage life, social life, school life, education life, everything. It disturbed us everywhere.
Indian soldiers' presence also increased over the years, as did allegations of human rights violations by the security forces.
Because there were a lot of arms, so everything was chaotic. To establish a sense of order and to build up an intelligence network, all these things take time, and unfortunately they take lives. This is how human rights violations happen.
To the point that today, there are estimated to be as many as 30 Indian soldiers for every civilian in Kashmir. The current generation doesn't remember peacetime at all. I met 25-year-old Amir Bant at his village in Pulwama, a place synonymous with suicide bombs. He is Raina's young friend and mentee, and he is missing an eye. He describes how an Indian soldier shot him in the eye with rubber bullets. While his mentor Raina grew up in a Kashmir caught in the crossfire, Bunt's generation sees Kashmir as an occupied territory with no possibility of resolution. And they blame Indian soldiers, he says, for killings, disappearances and daily harassment. He's now the president of an association of Kashmiris who have rubber bullets lodged in their bodies. There are thousands of such victims. 3 years ago, the Indian government tried a very different way of resolving this conflict.
August 5th, 2019. A historic day that changed India forever.
It cancelled Kashmir's autonomy and brought it under the central government's control. But it also filled the streets with even more soldiers, cut off the internet and muzzled the media. Prime Minister Narendra Modi's Hindu Nationalist Party considers the Kashmir conflict now resolved. This summer, it's celebrating 75 years of India's independence from British rule. But not all Kashmiris are celebrating along, says Mirza Saeed Beg, a Kashmiri human rights lawyer.
While Indians celebrate their independence from subjugation, they must also introspect as to what kind of union gets created by force and whether such forced unions merit celebration.
Different generations of Kashmiris hope for different types of resolution, but all have conflict fatigue now. With the elderly poet Ahmed, conversation often turns to philosophy. When God asks me what I have, I will say I only have the trees I planted. Everything else is transient, he says. Those trees have borne witness to 7 decades of turmoil and they will stand as silent observers for years to come. For NPR News, I'm Raksha Kumar in Srinagar, Kashmir.